Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dog podcast. This is a podcast about an Australian Shepherd that is nipping people. And it's if you have a dog at home and you've been struggling with the steps on how to start approaching your dog training, this is going to be excellent for you. So going over genetics, going over, as always, realistic goals and a step-by-step process and how to get there. As always, I wouldn't put this out if it wasn't going to be helpful and beneficial. I record a lot of these sessions and a lot of them don't get up. This is a good one. This is going to be helpful for you guys. Quick reminder, I'm going on a little seminar run this year. Going to be in Denver, Colorado. Going to be in Ontario, which is very close to a lot of places in the United States. It's going to be in Canada. It's right over the it's close to Chicago. It's close to, it's like less than 2 hours from a lot of the stuff. So if you're in the Midwest, come and hang out. Also going to be in the UK this year and in Australia. All tickets for that overseas stuff is going to be May 2nd of this year. So I'm excited to launch that. And we're going to be in Seattle, which is an amazing venue. So hopefully we'll see you guys on the road so you can hang out with me in person and watch me work some dogs. Have a good day, guys. Enjoy this podcast and we'll talk to you next time. Nice to meet you. So what's the deal? Catch me up.
So this is Christina, by the way, my
Hi.
Wife.
Christina or Christine?
Christina.
Christina, nice to meet you.
With an A. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
So I guess, I don't know if you want to do the rundown. It doesn't matter. But
we have two dogs. They're both mini Australian Shepherds. One is 8 and the other will be 2 this year in November. I don't really know where to start. The 8-year-old we thought was like this kind of like perfect dog until we got Bowie, the 2-year-old. and Bowie barks a lot at people and other dogs. And I would say he's just not as friendly when meeting them.
Yeah.
Meeting new people.
Yes.
New people, yep, and or dogs. But we don't have as many dogs around us, but with the ones that he has been introduced to, I wouldn't even know if introduced is the right way, the ones that he has come around or been in contact around, whether on walks or our neighbor's dog got loose and came into our yard, so that he just didn't like that at all.
So, yeah, we had to break that up. That was kind of scary because the neighbor's dog was off leash and we had Bowie on leash and he just reacted kind of aggressively, but more just fearfully aggressive, I guess, than anything.
Okay.
Yeah, like he went to probably nip at him. I wasn't there. You told me.
Yeah.
And I also wasn't there when our nephew was visiting and he nipped at him.
Nipped.
So he could explain.
Nipped him.
Got his butt. Yeah, got his butt.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm kind of, it's like kind of like all over the place. I don't know if that's a lot of information. I guess you can ask more questions too.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Spin over here.
Am I in the way?
No, just so that, because the mic might not.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I can hear you good. So,
okay. Good.
So Bowie is the 2-year-old Aussie that nipped the nephew, reacted aggressively towards the off-leash neighbor dog, and is sketchy with new people in general.
Yeah, like when he comes in, like if people were to come in the house, he gets a little, excited, but if he doesn't know you, it's definitely nerve-wracking excited.
It's like a different tone.
It's a different tone in his bark and like demeanor.
Okay.
And then while he's on the leash, like if we were walking him, it would be a growl and a excitable barking, like at, like barking at you, going towards and barking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, and it's all the time. It's all the time. He barks at us like crazy when we come in the door, but not like that.
Yeah. It's a different energy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And did you get Bowie when he was a puppy, or did you adopt him earlier, later on?
We got Bowie as a puppy. He was like 8 weeks old.
Okay. So when did it start?
That was new. I think it started right when he was a puppy. He liked to bark, you know, at people, but there was no fear because of how tiny he was, I guess. There was no, like, for me at least, and my son, we have a 16-year-old, well, soon to be 17 in a week, but there was no fear for any of us because he just, you know, he's so tiny as a dog. We're not really fearful of animals in general, the three of us. So I don't know if we just let it happen and we shouldn't, which is an obvious probably yes, but...
he also would kind of attack. So our other mini Australian Shepherd is 17 pounds. So he's really little. But even as a little tiny puppy, he would kind of go at and bite at.
We showed a video to one of the women that had mini Australian Shepherds that we know. And she said, like, he just is an aggressive player. Like, that's how he likes to play. So that was kind of like, oh, let the puppies play. But our 8-year-old was not a puppy anymore at that time. So we were always questionable about, is it normal? And people would say, oh, yeah, it's normal. Like, puppies do play like that, which I guess it is normal unless they don't get out of that behavior. Then it, like, if I'm thinking about kids, you know, like, that's kind of my reference. Like, maybe we should have stopped it then. Maybe it would have helped, you know, like. But people were saying, oh, puppies play like that. That's how they play. But it was just this, like, incessant bark, like, at him. And they didn't really play, though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that makes sense. And Rocky didn't do much with it. Rocky is just...
Rocky's, like, a different, totally different dog. Like, he's, like, sweet. But also, he barks a lot, too, and which is, it never bothered us because it was never aggressively barking. Like, people come over, he'd be excited, and then he'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. No, but even if we came in the house, you know, Rocky sit, or he'll sit and stop barking, and you just pet him, and he's like, fine. Bowie, you can't even, like, you could say sit, and Bowie will sit, but Bowie just keeps barking at you. Like, it's just kind of, like, he doesn't shut up. And if he won't shut up, then Rocky will keep going.
Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty, they bounce off each other.
So we kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. And Bowie doesn't really go around people because of this. I'm not really sure we're not confident enough how to handle it. We started even at the vet, two of them wanted like the muzzle on him because one of the receptionists went to say hi to him, and I had a harness on him with the thing that says do not pet, but she went to put her hand down and he, you know, he jumps. Now I have the leash. I don't know what he would have done. You know, like, it's hard to like love your dog and think that your dog would also like, we're fine with him. He's, you know, but maybe he would bite her, you know, he might be afraid. So
yeah,
I don't know. So now we don't really bring him around people, and that's probably not healthy either.
And we also put up a fence in the yard. And
well, the fence is good.
The fence is great because we couldn't really let him off the leash to run and play and all that. So now he does, you know, he gets to do that, and we do that in the yard, but we haven't really taken him around people too much at this point.
What would you say your overall goal is right now? Considering what's been developed, I mean, what would be your realistic goal?
Realistic goal?
Yeah.
I guess for him to just feel more calm with us walking in the house, for sure. But, you know, the two of them, because they're feeding off of each other. And if going on at least walks or outings for him to not, he doesn't have to be, Rocky will run up to you and lay down for you to pet him. Like, and that's okay if he's not, like, we're not, you know, we're not taking these dogs or have to take them around a bunch of people anywhere. That's kind of why he hasn't been around dog people. But I think just for him to be less, always like ready to just bark or ready to react to something or ready to.
Yeah. Like, we kind of know it's obviously the breed, but he's just always on edge, it feels like.
Every truck out the window, he can bark, but I want to know how to say, thanks for the bark, it's okay, but now we're good. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, is that realistic?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty realistic. It's not only realistic, it's what you need to do, because and I'll just give you some context here. Australian Shepherds are historically anxious dogs from my professional experience. And part of that, I think, is outlet. They're very high energy anyway. So just like with people, you know, they have all this stuff going on, you know, and then they go and work out and they feel better. And it's something I have to do almost daily, right? So with dogs, it's very, very common because they are working dogs, right? They're herding dogs. Their genetics do play a role in their temperament and their disposition, meaning some people will breed dogs for pet dogs. Some people will breed dogs for work, like the dogs that you get that are supposed to be on farms that aren't. And there's a lot of conflict there because now they're supposed to be this high. They give them, genetics will give the dog all this energy and this work drive to like be really drivey, like anything that moves, it's like bah, 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 constantly like scanning everything, right? And then we don't give them that outlet. And so then, of course, coming into the house, bang, explosion. People coming over, bang, explosion. Dogs walking by, bang, explosion. So they take all this stuff that's supposed to be outletted in work and they don't, and they just put it other places. So there's that. Just my experience with Aussies in general is they really need very clear all dogs do, but Aussies in particular have so much going on upstairs that it becomes very hard to live with and manage, because it's the habitual, anything that's out of place or anything that moves, the dog just kind of explodes on it. Which is, you know, a lot of people live with it, and it sounds like that's what you've done with Rocky for a long time, and now Bowie's doing it in more of an aggressive manner, and now it's concerning. So is it realistic? Yeah, of course. It is realistic to have your dog go out and be neutral around people without freaking out. I mean, yes. But the caveat to that is, and I think you don't expect this, and I think you've laid it out pretty clearly in your roadmap of goals, is you want to be able to be around realistic scenarios, other people, go for walks, have people over without your dog reacting long term. There is going to be probably always this quick couple barks in the beginning, which is inevitable. I don't think you should try to delete it. I think you should try to understand it and then manage it, making it reasonable. Kind of like kids, they're upset about something. Why? You know, my son will be, you know, silly things. You're like, okay, well, that's not reasonable, right? So it's just this path of understanding how to create these structural confines to be successful. And a lot of that is, part of it is obedience, which is a big part of it. And then the other part of it is setting the dog up for better success. But the biggest piece is obedience. And obedience is, think of, a lot of people think when I say obedience, they think of, I don't know, more traditional like games. And obedience is more communication. And so I always ask people, if you don't have baseline obedience in a realistic format, you won't be successful. The problem that dog owners like you face is once you have a dog that has behavioral quirks or issues or concerns, then it really matters. Meaning, if you have a cute little puppy that jumps on people and barks occasionally, but they're super cute and they're not barking aggressively, people don't put in the time. They don't really care that much because it's not a big deal. It's not really a concerning symptom of something, right? It's no big deal, right? But then when you have a dog that is habitually barking, lunging at people, growling at people, nipping kids, etc., then it becomes like, okay, this is a problem. But the same structure should be in place with both dogs.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So, and it's crazy. We honestly, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Until we had Bowie, we were like, we're such jerks. Like, we didn't even realize that's what we did with Rocky.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there was never a bite, a bark, a chew, any of that. But here, he really doesn't really respect us probably at all. And it's not even funny anymore. Like, it's, it's like, oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Is people don't care until it's a bigger problem. The majority of people who have dogs just don't put in that time. And that's why even me, if I bring out just a remotely trained dog, like a basic don't pull me, a heel command, people are like amazed. And I'm like, this is like teaching your kids please and thank you. I mean, this is the most baseline foundation that you should have, right? So exactly, right? Where you don't put in the work because you're not seeing any symptoms. So it's like, why would we even do anything, right? So anyway, so the communication is your obedience. So that means when somebody comes to the door and your dog say, holy crap, somebody's here, they're alert barking, they're doing all the Aussie things. If you don't have communication, like at all, like leave it, which is stop barking, go to your bed or go to your place, which is go away from the door so you don't freak the little kid out, or heel, which is when you're out for a walk. So I always tell people that if you have a man-eater of a dog but you have good obedience, you'll be more successful than the out-of-control puppy. Like if I had a dog that just wants to bite everybody, but I had good obedience and they listened to me, I could do more things with that dog than the out-of-control cute puppy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably more enjoyable to be around as long as you're not looking to, be affectionate and kiss on a dog. Right. Because the puppy's scratching you, scratching your legs, jumping up on you, barking, wrapping everything up. It's kind of a nightmare. But because they're not trying to kill somebody, people usually are like, oh, they might grow out of it. I don't know. Right. So, but what you said was really cool for me to hear because it was different. It was, I think we love our dogs so much. We don't really know what they're capable of. You're kind of blinded by that a little bit is kind of what you said. And so what you have to start doing is you have to start correcting the behavior you don't like. So anytime the dog is lunging at anybody with the intent to bite them or nip them, big difference, but regardless, you have to correct them effectively. And what underlining effectively means, you got me? Still here?
Yeah, sorry, it froze. Yeah.
All good. So what that means is as you're effectively correcting a dog for trying to bite somebody, nip somebody, etc., that simply means that the dog has to care about the correction. And the correction is going to be, for in other words, it's going to be some sort of accountability, right? So what is the consequence? What is the punishment for trying to bite the vet tech or the nephew, right? What is going to be the don't do that again unless this will happen type thing? So the dog says, well, I don't want to do that again. So there's always two coins to this that I attack these things at. The first one is trying to get to the reason why. So going to the source of the symptoms, and the symptoms are the barking and biting and nipping. So, but sometimes you can't take away the source, which is the dog doesn't like kids or the dog doesn't like other people. That is a potential reality. And to be fair, at best, it's inconvenient. But it's not a big deal. So many dogs are, like my personal dogs are very similar. They're indifferent. They really don't care. They're not aggressive towards people, but they really don't care that you're there unless you're going to play with them. You know, they're not. So in other words, there's a difference between really the pet breeds, the mostly labs, the doodles, the dogs who are just literally born to be friendly with people, the companion dogs. And then there's a class of working dogs to make it very general. Okay. There's a lot of categories to each. But if you have more of a, just to give you context, if you have more of a working type dog, they are typically and historically much more, they can be much more reactive because they're not trying to be friends with everybody like the golden retrievers are, generally speaking, right? So when you get an Aussie, you get this herding dog, you get a vocal dog, you get a prey-driven dog, which means anything that moves, they get excited about. And so they can become reactive easier. Right, so the old saying, if it doesn't take much to soak a damp rag, like they're already, like you said, when you got the puppy, the dog was reactive, like right from the get. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a bad thing if you're using that dog to live on a farm and chase cattle around all day. It may not be the best thing when you want it to be a couch potato at the house, though, right? I brought home my South African Mastiff, which is a Boer Bull, which is one of the most protective breeds in the world, which is why I got one. When I brought him home from Texas, the day I brought him home, he backed up my Dutch Shepherd at 8 weeks. He was this big. And I was like, that's the baseline of this dog. That's where his base is. He's not mean or aggressive. He's obsessed with her now because he knows her, but he didn't know her. She wasn't. So my point is, just to give you an example, genetics matter 100%. And so those are kind of like the separations there. Was when you get a pet dog to just grow up around kids and basically be like a therapy dog for everybody, you could kick the dog in the face and they'd be like, oh, sorry, am I in your way? Those are the types of dogs that you don't have. You have more of the working class dogs. So they're busy, they're excited. You probably, I don't know, maybe you have thought of this before, but this is just something to think about as a professional looking in. I'm like, you know what? You should know that you have more of a working class dog. And they are more likely to be indifferent to people, because they're kind of mm-hmm. like if you're not gonna like play with me or run around and throw the ball or whatever, whatever. So there's that. So let's for an example, what can we do? Here's what you need to start doing. There's kind of three approaches here, and I'll go through them. The first is you have to start correcting the dog when they do something. Okay, so let's say you put a slip leash on a dog, and a slip leash, I don't have one down here, but I can, you can go on my website and find them.
We have it.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
We bought the stuff from your
Yeah, we,
okay. Yeah. Okay. So
we have all your tools.
Awesome. Okay, because that's helpful. Okay, but you know, the tool is only as good as the handler, right? Just like the contractor, right? Or whatever you do. It's like you can buy something, but if you don't know how to use it, it's pretty useless, or when to use it, right? So we're always going to correct inappropriate behavior that we don't ever want to see. We don't want to see it. So when we're nipping, we're lunging, we just never want to see it. Now, the contrast to that would be when somebody comes over, the dogs are going to go, hey, somebody's here. You're not trying to delete that, because that's always going to happen. And frankly, that's why a lot of people get dogs, is for that. But this is where the obedience kicks in. And it's the same thing when you guys come home. It's different energies towards you and strangers to the dogs. However, it's the same type of obedience overlay. So it would be, they come to the door, they get overly excited. You don't have the skill sets currently to accomplish your goals. And that's the good truth, because it's actually very, It's a simple concept, but it's hard to do it. It's kind of like if you want to lose 50 pounds, all you got to do is not eat sweets and work out every day. Simple, but doing that is very difficult, almost impossible for me anyway. So when you're doing things like obedience, you're talking about a place command, which is a send away to a bed. So that means you have to practice the skill set in which you want to apply when people come over. So nobody's going to want, and again, this is just being realistic. I have a pretty healthy blend of being a dog owner my whole life and a professional. So I'm a realist, if you will. So when somebody comes to the house, your dogs are going to go, holy crap, somebody's here. Whether they're excited or they may be nervous, especially with Bowie, because he might be like suspicious more than anything. He's like, I don't know what to do here. That's when you say, Bowie, go to your, so here's a perfect world. Somebody comes over, your dogs are overly stimulated. They're excited. Bowie, go to your bed. Down. Boop. Stay. Done. There. Now, if you had the skill sets and good obedience, that's what that. And I know you don't right now, and I'll go over that. But I'm just saying. I talk to dog owners every day, but a lot of times people don't have the basic skill sets to accomplish their goals. They just want to stop it from happening. And it's like you. I call it the stop it syndrome. I mean, you just can't stop it. You're not going to be able to just stop something. It's like, oh, I just want to, you know, same thing. Mike's son was just dealing with eczema. I just want to stop this. It's like, I have to find the source, and then I have to go through the whole, you know, the diet and the gut. And it's not as easy as it is. Like, I just want to stop my dog from barking. It's like, that doesn't, but the secret weapon is having good obedience. So Bowie, go to your bed. They're kind of like, yeah, but, and you're like, go, and they go, and you say down, and you say, so that's the first thing, is having good.
I actually have a question on that, because we do, so Bowie, and I actually meant to send you a video of it, but he will go to his place, mm-hmm. but as he's in his place, he's like, he's not calm though. Like, he's like, he'll be calm for a minute, and then as soon as they come through the door, then he starts to rev up, but he's staying in his place. And then even if he'll sit there for as long as you kind of want him to, because he's
mostly with you, not with me or Hayden.
Okay.
Mostly with you.
So then, but then as soon as you say free, it's like you just released him, and it's this exact same thing. So he's running, then he's jumping 5 feet in the air to our son's head.
I think if you leave him, if you're able to leave him in that place longer, I think he settles down more.
He does start to settle down, yeah. So I guess that's my question, is like, when they go to the place but they're still revved up, how do you...
And then I have a question too. Where's the best place for the police in reference to a door and coming into the house? And like, what, or does that not matter? I'm just curious.
Something he doesn't know. If you ever say free, then he's going to go at them as soon as he's free, but he will go to the place and stay there for the most part. Like, he does listen to you. He does listen. Mm-hmm. But Rocky won't.
Forget it.
Yeah. And Christina, Bowie doesn't stay for you, it sounds like, or your son.
So if it would be, it's not consistent. Okay. If I were to ask him to go to place, if he didn't know someone was coming in the door, maybe like if I was in the house and I was just practicing with him,
sure,
he would listen. Okay. He would do it. But if he knows that Matt's coming home, not very consistently, that he will listen to me.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. However, it's basically the difference between reality and like pretend. Like, Bowie will listen in non-distracted environments, which in your issues doesn't matter. It's not applicable.
Right.
You know, it's like, so we'll talk about that in a moment. Going back to the place question, it does matter, because you don't want to put the place right next to the door. That would be silly. Mm-hmm. But for me, my place, so my front door, and then I would say probably 10 feet to the right is my place, which is just a dog bed, just an L.L. Bean dog bed. And that's their place. I find that sending the dog to another room is more difficult for dogs like this, because they're constantly like, well, I got to, right? So anyway, so I would just say off to the side so they can see what's going on, but they're not close enough that if they did break, that they're going to be right at the person's feet. So, Christina, going back to your comment about Bowie, selective hearing, if you will, which is, again, very common, and it's classical. Like, I always say that there's three levels of obedience, to make it simple. You know, three is Yoda, and level one is just starting. And that's it's so if you're at like level one, where which would clarify as non-distracting, on leash, with motivation, food, dog's like, I'll do anything for this, and there's nothing else going on, and I'm on leash. So it's all the things that you would do to hold a dog's hand to get from A to B. Super simple. And that's what you want to be doing. And so the mistake that a lot of people make, for an example, Christina, if you took Bowie right now after this and you put him on leash, you brought him to, you said place, you paid him, stay. Matt went around the house or whatever, excuse me, and then, you know, bang, 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 bang. You know, maybe put Rocky somewhere else so you can work on with Bowie. Just audit what's dealing on. The mistake that people make is they let their dog, they let their dog off leash. So they're trying to get from training wheels to Tour de France. Like, they're trying to do that huge jump. I'm like, no. It's not a black and white thing. It's an incremental thing. Like, everything in life, no matter what you do, it's not an overnight thing. So that's a mistake people make, is they're trying to, like, body block the dog. And, you know, and it's just, it's a nightmare. So put the dog on a leash and work on this whole thing. Okay. And second to that, the reason why it's in effect, and I've seen it's really objective in my experience anyway, the reason why dogs don't really capture what you're asking is because when you don't have the dog on leash, the dog is also not getting corrected. So if I put a dog to a place, sit, stay, and they're like, okay, easy, knock on the door, and they go, ah, and they start to get off, and you correct them right at that moment, right when you snap them out of it, you disrupt their thinking and say, what are you doing? I'm right here, back to your place. And you start working on this. This is kind of like the secret sauce here to start on this path. So in other words, I want to be able, so put myself in your shoes. I want to be able to have guests over, who, no matter who it is, sons, friends, nephews, nieces, whatever. Realistically, this would be without having dogs, because that's just a whole other thing. Again, that's like the Yoda stuff, and even that is like kind of crazy. But you have people come over, and you should be able to use obedience to counter your dog's genetics, to counter your dog's, this is what I want to do, all with obedience. And that's just something you don't have right now, and you have to build up to that point. And it really is that simple. And the key factors there, guys, are using, like you said, you have equipment, use the ladder, like there's a ladder of equipment, use whatever your dog respects and responds to, right? When we say, so for example, if we say leave it and the dog continues to bark because we're pulling on them with a harness, not going to work. It's not punitive enough for them to stop. Because they're so interested in the other thing, they don't even feel what you're doing. It's like trying to have a private conversation at a Metallica concert. It doesn't make any sense. So you have to be able to really get in there and be like, hey, you have to quit the crap right now and listen to me. So start with that. Okay. Put them on leash, try to put Rocky away, work on them individually. You could do the same thing with Rocky. It just sounds like it's kind of something you're not super worried about because he's not a threat, if you will. Does that make sense?
Is that okay not to worry about
it? I wouldn't say I'm not worried about it, because so Rocky just never, so like, he's just a whole different dog.
Yeah.
Like he does. He's on medicine. He's had seizures since he was two, Rocky, and there's just so much more with him that we try to just chill out with him a bit more, but he's also easier to chill. He'll sleep right on top of you. He wants to be right near you. He won't go running after a rabbit. Bowie wants to get it. Like, he doesn't, he's just a different type of dog. So I would say that if helping, he just was different, and he didn't bark as much as Bowie at all. Like, it was just a bark. And then, like I said, it was easy to just he's fine. Like, hey, you're home. I'm excited. And then I'm done. He never ran after the neighbor. He never, it was just having Bowie all of a sudden, it made us feel like, oh, we should have been doing this with Rocky because now maybe we have to, because we're doing it with Bowie.
That's how this
the two of them now are like, so yes, I'm concerned if it's going to help Bowie, then yes, like then we have to do it for Rocky because, but if you feel like I shouldn't be because my main focus has to be Bowie, I'm kind of like asking you probably, what is the best?
Yeah.
What do you think is best?
Yeah, I would do both.
We were going
to, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. We were going to bring, the kind of how this all happened was we were going to sign up for your 3-day
for the
training.
Yeah.
And I said before we go though, because we'll have to put Rocky on some meds. He gets absolutely sick in the car, and then I wanted to know if we should bring both dogs. That's where this kind of started. Is it really productive for us to go along with Bowie and ask you about Bowie and have Bowie there? Meanwhile, we have this other dog at home, and this is what he is like. And that's kind of where this whole transpired. So let's make the phone call first.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
Yeah, it's a good use of time. I would just bring Bowie because all the things that we're going to be working on with Bowie, you would be able to copy and paste with Rocky because it's all the same concepts, same thing.
Okay.
So whatever, that's what my 3-day program is really about, is teaching you how to train dogs, essentially, how to understand, hey, here's this problem. And then I am like, don't look at that. Look at this, because this will actually fix that. Right. Again, same thing, like finding the reason why it's happening. Well, you know, it's really interesting. I deal with this all the time with my own kids, and it's so relatable. Like, again, just like the eczema thing. It's like we can treat the breakouts, but it's just going to keep coming back until we figure out the same. So it's the same thing. Like you can avoid the situation, or you can learn how to fix it and where it's coming from. Because oftentimes with dogs like Bowie, is they get away with stuff. There's part of them that instinctually actually is like, stranger danger, what do we do? I can't handle this. That's his personality. It sounds like that's what he was like when he was born. So again, that's his genetics. You can't change that. But there's also a big part that he doesn't know the right thing to do. It's like, you know, if I were to ask you very simply, it's like, we don't want Bowie to do this. And I'm like, what would you want him to do? And the answer typically for dog owners is like very unreal. I just want them to not care that people come over. I'm like, that's no, I'd be very concerned, right? If somebody came into your house and your dog just laid there, I'm like, is your dog okay? Are they sick? Like, but then you take it to the next level of like, well, it's an Aussie. Well, it's a shepherd. You know, there's these different layers of like, exploration that you have to go through to be like, what, in this world, you know, what would that look like? What would that look like with a lab? What would that, you know, whatever. Anyway, so your start should be auditing your skill. So to answer your own question, it's like, what do I want my dog to do differently? And then audit what skill sets you have to achieve that goal. That's what I would do. I mean, that's like I guess that also works in business too, but it's like, I want this. Like, okay, what are you doing to get that? And a lot of my job is to tell you those exact things, right? Well, first of all, put your leash back on a dog. Use a piece of equipment that your dog actually cares about, that they will listen to you. So you're not just tapping somebody on a shoulder at a Metallica concert as they're freaking out, right? You got to be able to really get to them, to touch them, to get a pulse, to break things up, to say, hey, pay attention. Then you need to teach them the skill sets to be successful. So a perfect example is having a dog off leash. If I have a dog off, if my personal dog is off leash, living his best life, and then all of a sudden, boom, a deer rips across the field or whatever, and he goes because he's a dog, right? So somebody comes into your house, your dog goes, oh my God, somebody's here. You're not going to take that away. You have to be able to say, come. So my dog knows come because I've worked on it for 6 months. He knows what it is. He knows how to achieve it, and we've practiced it. And if he doesn't, I have the remote collar to touch him from a distance and hold him accountable, and he turns around and comes back. So I have this system, right? So if somebody walks into your house and Bowie goes, stranger danger, little human, aka nephew, what do I do? You say, go to your place. And he goes, oh, I've practiced that. Or he goes, I know what you want, but this is more distracting, screw you. And then you correct him for it. Oop, okay, I'm going back. And that's real. I mean, that's the reality of dogs, is they're so, they could be so opportunistic and pushy. And I mean, how many times, it's same. I mean, even in this conversation, Christina, it's like Bowie listens better for Matt than he does with you. So it's like, that's an opportunistic thing. And I'm sure you see that with kids too. It's like, they look at you for different things because of what you provide, right? And it's actually incredibly in depth, but it's the reality. Like so that's what I would be doing, is really start working on the skill sets that you want your dog to do when these things happen. So for an example, you're at the vet. You go to the vet, and typically you're at the vet, the dog's in front of you, kind of skating around, whining, you're sitting there, you're anxious because all these dogs are coming around and you don't know how he's going to act, and people are around and you're kind of anxious, and he's out of control. He's like, he doesn't, or not, but being able to put him into a down next to you, or in a lot of cases with my clients, because I help them with this vet thing a lot, I'll go into a vet office, put a dog into a down in the corner, and I'll stand in front of the dog and I'll just let people pass. And if people, he's not friendly. What do you need? What can I help you with? Do you want me to bring him back for you? Do you need me to put a muzzle on him? What do you want me to do? But a lot of times people go in to the vet with basically a dog on ice skates with no control. So then it's like you go into a situation with little to no control, and there's all these obstacles getting thrown at you, and of course you're going to fall on your face, and it's going to be stressful, and you're going to leave there frustrated because you're like, that was awful. But if you had better obedience, communication, and control, put them into a down, somebody's approaching, you stop them, you tell them. But if he's in front of you kind of sitting there waiting to make a mistake, and somebody approaches, and you can't tell him, hey, leave it, then you have no shot, right? You're basically setting him up and you up for failure. So the main thing here, guys, is this: you need to start practicing the skill sets to apply to the goals that you have. You need a good leave it, which is stop barking. You need a good go to your place and stay. And now that it sounds like you have it, you need to build it up. So the introduction's there. He knows what it is. Now you need to go back down to the basics and build it up. And all that looks like, we call it in dog training, the 3 D's. And this is a very crucial part to what you're dealing with: distance, distraction, and duration. So once you get a base, I know what sit is, I know what stay is, for example, then you start adding distance. You start moving away from the dog little by little, and you see what the dog can do. And you're paying the dog, and you're teaching the dog, not yet, boom, boom, boom. And they're like, oh, okay, so even when you walk away, I have to stay here? Yup. And then the distractions. So even when Rocky's in the room, I have to stay? Yup. Even when there's a ball, even when the doorbell goes off, even when somebody knocks at the door, right? So there's, and then of course, the duration of the time that they stay there. So your job is to say, hey, here's like the most basic thing. And then you build, you know, anything in life, no matter what you're doing, you're going to understand the foundation of how to do something. And in order to get expert, in order to get better, you're going to practice. I can do this under any circumstance, you know, like bring it to me. It's like, I'll be able to handle this under any circumstance. And that's, so it's testing. It's called proofing. And I think nothing surprises me from what you've said. Kind of like a neurotic, almost acting 2-year-old Aussie, doesn't love kids, can be reactive to dogs, can be reactive to people. I would just say that's probably his personality right now. Could grow out of it, likely not. Your job is to apply skill sets over the things that he wants to do, which is advancing your obedience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you think paying him is like from the place, because it seems like it's all he wants. So is that okay? Is it okay to keep paying him for it, or is there a point where you stop paying and it's just he's doing it?
Yes.
And being like rewarded. Yeah.
Yeah. Good question. Yes. There's absolutely a point where once the dog understands loud and clear, like what they're supposed to do, you you helicopter less, you hold their hand less, right? So just, again, I say this with kids a lot because it's very relatable mostly, but it's like, it's the same thing when they're starting to, yeah, yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it. And then once you ask them to do it, it's like what do you mean? I'm not giving you $20 to clean your room anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, do your homework, right? So it's the same thing with dogs. Like, once there's this expectation, and we use, so to your point, Matt, we use positive reinforcement heavily in the teaching process, right? We use internal rewards, your voice, what lives inside of you, petting, affection, and external rewards, food, balls, etc. Place, good place, boom. Internal, good place, food comes out, bang, good. And the dog's like, holy crap, this is the most amazing thing ever. And you're like, that's it. Knock on the door, the dog stays in the place, boom, again, gets all that payment. Once the expectation is clear, absolutely, and that's what a trained dog looks like a level 3 dog would be, my dogs are playing. I actually posted a video of it yesterday on my Instagram. My dogs are playing with each other. I tell one of them, they're probably in the most excitable, stimulating time, right? Like, I'm very excited to be playing. And I just tell one of my dogs to down in mid-play. Boop, they down. And then I take my other dog and then run circles around that dog. And the dog has to stay there until I say break. No equipment, no corrections, no rewards. It's expectations through practice. So you should be able to do this because I've practiced it 100 times with you. But again, guys, it wasn't, I taught my dog down on leash with a little bit of food luring. Now I'm applying it off leash. Now I'm applying it with, so off leash would be heavier distractions, right? Off leash, heavy distractions, and then I'm breaking the dog. And it's, and again, it's without holding the dog's hand. So in the beginning of that process, it's, I'm on top of the dog, guiding them through. And I'm not applying these distractions until they're ready. And that's what a lot of people do. They go, I want to teach my dog in the most distracting environment, and they fail. And of course, they're like, I don't get it, right? So you're like, oh, Bowie's never done place and stay with Christina. Let's have our neighbors come over and practice ding-dong ditch as we do this. Not a good idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to build it out before you apply it. It's practice, 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 practice. And then you start kind of blending in a little bit of reality, which would be maybe Matt ringing the doorbell or your son ringing the doorbell, Matt coming in, your son coming in, like not making it the real thing yet, because if there's levels to it. And if you fail at your son coming in, you 100% will fail when your friends come over. And you, and that, to me, that's like the biggest, that I love that. Like, when I get challenged by something, or if I can't do something, I attack it like hard. Like in jiu-jitsu this morning, there's this guy who crushes me, and I just made him do it over and over and over. And I'm like, I need to know how to get out of this situation. And so it's the same thing with dogs. When you fail at something, you have to go, why didn't this work? Most dog owners just give up and they go, well, I guess this is that type of training doesn't work for me. And it's like, no, you were biting off way too much. So it's very important to incrementally build your skill sets.
I have a question. Say when you are practicing this and he is listening sometimes, not listening sometimes, how would I behave then towards when he doesn't?
Like, correction.
How, like, just say what I want him to do again, or
good question.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I, oh no, like, I think maybe I say too much probably, or yep. Like, so
less is more. Keep it clean. Bowie place, good place, ding dong, bark, off place. Nope. You can say, so they're corrective markers, which is a corrective word, and then it's enforced by a correction. Okay, so think of enforcement as law enforcement officer. So your laws are place and stay. This is your laws. They break it, you enforce it. Now you're getting a ticket, okay? So that's the correction from the leash. So you say place, good. Ding dong, boom, off the place. Nope, correction on the leash. You could say no. You can say you could say place again, but don't fire it. Make it clean.
Okay.
It should be place, good place, boop, stay. Ding dong, dog breaks it. Ah, ah. I usually do that. Ah, ah, right?
Mm-hmm.
and it's enforced by a correction, which means right now with my personal dogs, if I say, ah, they will typically fix themselves. Oh, I don't want to, right? They're fixing themselves.
So you're saying like, ah, but I'm using the leash too. Is that what you mean? Like
you're enforcing your ah with the correction. So
okay.
Ah, bang, ah, bang, ah, whoop. Right. So the dog knows that when the ah comes out, if they don't get back into line or in this context back into place, there's going to be a correction. And that's where the learning happens. They get back to the correct. They get back to the place. Yes, good place. And they go, ah, light bulb. This means that. And you're actually going to hold me accountable, not just, right? And to be fair, most people set themselves up for such failure. They do place, they do stay, they walk away. No leash, ding dong, and now they're playing like football with the dog, trying to block the quarterback. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, no, put your leash on your dog, stand next to your dog, and take it way back down steps. Go way easier, and you start to build up.
That'll fix the rock.
And would you say that's with people coming in the door? Would you say when they run up to the window, when the landscapers, the whatever, and that gets, again, yep. Like if they're barking, that's one thing. They're letting us know someone's here. But when does that turn into like, I guess that's just our command. Like what would that command look like? Would that be place or not? Like
leave
would
it.
We stay with that because that's what, leave it. Okay. Yep. And you think working on both of those at the same time is fine for a dog?
It's
not too much. Or...
No, you would separate them. Like you would work on leave it for, you just wouldn't put them in the same session maybe until later on. But yeah, you would say this is what leave it is. This is what place is. Dogs are smart. They're going to know what.
Yeah.
And you're using, you got to be consistent with the words. So for an example for leave it, and I have a couple of YouTube videos on this too. And you basically will put like a ball down or a piece of food, anything that he wants. You start working around it. You say, leave it. He's going to go anyway because he doesn't know what that is. You correct him with the leash. Probably by the fourth correction, as long as you're doing it right, you say, leave it, and he's going to completely not touch the thing. Good, leave it. Bang, you pay him. Okay? And then you start to, and again, same thing. You start to transfer that to higher stuff. You start to transfer it from a distance. The remote collar is the only thing in the world that can enforce your leave it off leash, right? It's enforceable. That matters, right? The dog cares. You could argue like, well, I tell my dog no as they're chasing the skunk down the road. Like, did they care about that no when they're chasing it? No. You can disrupt with that. That's why, perfect. My dog, I don't know what the hell my dog was barking at earlier, but he's in his crate. He just went for a walk. I had a meeting with you guys, and so I have my remote collar next to me, and I have a camera that I can watch. So if he's barking, I can make sure that he's barking because he thinks there's a leaf outside and he needs to bark at it. And I can correct him with this from here. I don't even need to say anything. I can just hit the pager, which is a vibration, and he'll just stop like that. So again, there's like different things that we can do in the dog training world. But here's the caveat to that is a lot of people will hear that and see that and go, man, I'm just going to get one of those. Screw all the hard work. The problem is if A, he doesn't know what this is, you could scare the crap out of him and he may never want to go in his crate again because he thinks the crate did it. And he also, if I wasn't there, he's at a point where he is really obedient and I wouldn't need to say leave it because he knows like the habitual barking is something I don't want him to do. Anyway, so there's so many things. So to answer your question, it's going to be leave it. So technically, if he's barking out the window, a leave it should be applied and he could, now this isn't logical or fair, he could just stand there, look at the landscaper and not bark. But realistically, that's really difficult for people and dogs to do. So it's typically get away from the window, go to your bed, then leave it, which is stop barking. So you're moving them away from the reason why they're barking because they can see the landscaper. And that's where, again, the send away to the... So again, your dog is doing something very instinctual to them. It's not surprising. It makes total sense. 1 + 1 = 2. My dog inside my home sees a man or a person outside that they don't know. They're barking. The sky's blue. Of course they are. So we're not going to say, holy crap, you're being a bad dog. Stop doing that. It would be, that makes sense. Come here instead. Go lay down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His bark isn't like Rocky barks and then he stops. His bark is like, it won't stop. And he jumps to the window, jumps at the window. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So if you, so again, if you don't have a good recall, then there's, I mean, again, it's like, well, what do I, your dog's jumping out the window. What do you want them to, well, I want them to stop parking. I'm like, well, okay. Do you have a leave it? No. Well, what about if we just move them away? I'm like, do you have a good recall? No. You know? Yeah, it's really just it's basic. I mean, it's basic stuff. So when it gets more where it gets more difficult, where this doesn't get applied as easy as it sounds, is when you get very random and inappropriate behaviors, meaning cuddling with your dog, they growl and they bite you in the face for no reason. That's not an obedience thing, right? There's other things there. What you're dealing with on paper makes everything lines up. Makes total sense what you're dealing with. It's just now you have to go, okay, well, yeah, my Australian Shepherd who I got and came to me reactive is, you know, same thing with my Borble. I bought him because I wanted him to be reactive. Anybody that comes in my property, I want them to know that he's here. That's literally why I bought him, because I have a young family. I travel a lot, and that's why I bought him. If he didn't bark, I'd probably send him back. Like, I need something else that's going to react. But I have really good obedience, and I have an off switch, which is my responsibility having such a big, powerful dog. You guys have an Australian Shepherd that is reactive. Not surprising. They're working dogs. They're herding dogs. They like to work. They're not getting, you know, you're not putting them on a farm. So now he's like, you know, and he probably, not for nothing, but he probably just doesn't like a lot of people, which is okay.
I mean, yeah, I think that's like you're saying, I don't know if it's a like or not, but it's, he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
You can tell, like he'll say, like once my family comes in and everything's settled, he'll say hi, he'll go around, but he's not like Rocky. Rocky's in your face like, hey, want to pet me, or
yeah,
I'm going to go sit next to you. And Bowie's just kind of like,
he'll lay under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll just lay on the floor. Doesn't he care. Doesn't need to be near you. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, those
just
are
getting him to that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, just getting him, like, it would be great if we just get him to that point, because we do understand he's going to bark and all of that. That's not
I think deal. You, me, and Hayden, I'm writing down the words and like the exact words, and I need a step by step. I feel like the way that I think, like I need, and Hayden's this way too, like I need to know that I'm doing it. I need to look at it, the outline, and know that I'm like, okay, the leash, I need to make sure we're all doing it or it's not going to work. It's the same thing with Hayden when I'm like, if you're not on board with me, like I can't, it's just not going to work. And then that makes me feel like just
my suggestion that will really helpful would be really helpful for you guys would be, I have a Kickstarter course, which is if you're trying to, it's exactly made for this. Because I have this conversation a lot. It's like, where do I start? Like, okay, do I start on thresholds? Do I start? So it's the five basics. So thresholds, right? Meaning don't, you know, rebuilding a better relationship, introducing the place, introducing the heel, introducing the stay, the recall. You can use YouTube as a code at checkout and get $100 off right now. And I would, if you want curriculum and you want step-by-step, because it came out of your mouth, I'm not a salesy type person, but it came out of your mouth, that is that. I made that mm-hmm. for that. So it's called the Kickstarter course.
And Matt, did you buy that one or no?
No, I got the React.
Oh, okay. I know like Matt has, I know like I don't watch as many, but I do listen to some in the car, but I mean, I've watched a lot of your videos too. I think for us, and we know this and now like just hearing this, I think he's not doing well from the very beginning enough. He's not listening enough and being obedient that like just too much was introduced to him. Of trying to get him to, you know.
Yeah. Like he can kind of do a lot of things.
Yeah, like he wants to listen. Oh, he listens better than Rocky. You can tell.
Yeah.
But he definitely, it's like, I just feel like it's just going, I don't know, after this conversation, I think just going to back to the beginning and doing it long enough for him that we felt comfortable, maybe that he actually learned it. Yeah. Like he just,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like they're two different like genetic gene pools. If you, one is very like worky and like spazzy, and it's kind of the type of dog you want, you know, again, out in the farm. Cause then when they come back home, they look completely normal. They're just sleeping and tired, and they could care less about anything. Cause they're just so like fulfilled, you know? And it just seems like they're two different dogs.
Like playing Frisbee with them both. It's like Rocky comes over and he's like, runs right past you with the Frisbee. And Bowie is like,
yeah,
at your feet, drops Intense. It. Here you go. Yep. I'm ready.
Yep.
And is that so, for instance, like him having that demeanor and behavior, normal, fine, should we wait for him to not be as intense staring at you to throw the Frisbee? Are we making that worse? Like,
no,
like every time he comes and he's like, I'm good. And then we're like, okay, go Bowie. And then like he goes and then he brings it back and we're like, is that okay for him? Like, is that?
Yeah, you're never going to wait that out. Okay. That's who he is. That's what I'm saying. Is
yeah, okay.
I would use that to your advantage. I would start to.
I just don't want to make anything worse.
No, I think getting that energy out is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really don't want to make anything worse.
Well, we'll definitely do the 5 steps thing. Check that out. And then hopefully we'll come up with your training too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just a little more hands-on maybe.
Yeah.
I would.
Where do you guys live?
I mean, we live in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Yeah. You're like
3 hours.
3 hours probably.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, take the.
I mean, I'd like him to tell us why he is the way he is.
What do you mean?
Like you said, usually you get the dogs there and you can like kind of tell the why or like what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really does. If let's just say he is like he doesn't like people and he wants to nip at people, it's okay. You know, like I can deal with that. Yeah. I'm not. But what if he doesn't? And we're what's wrong? Like, then that's not fair.
Yeah.
Right.
That sucks.
Yeah, my excitement to go somewhere like your place is to have him surrounded by that, but then also somebody to help you.
I know, because we are both scared to bring him around people because...
Yeah.
I mean, I had him on a leash. When he bit my nephew, I had him on a leash. And he was fine. He was looking at me. I said, good boy. And as soon as I said, good boy, my nephew was walking past and he just went.
Yeah.
And it was almost like he wanted to grab him so he couldn't get away or something. It was weird. But I had him on a leash, so it's like, you know, I guess I'm just afraid. I just don't ever want that to happen again to anybody. So,
yeah, a lot of it too is it could have been a vulnerable thing. You know, he's like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do about this kid, and they're coming near me, and you know, and then he nipped him, and yeah, it's kind of like a gun draw. It's like I'm gonna get you before you get me, and they don't really want to.
Yeah.
They just don't know what else to do. You know, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you. Good luck with everything.
It was really nice meeting you.
You too.
Nice
to you. Yeah, likewise, guys. All right, good luck. We'll
Thank you.
Be at the facility whenever you guys want to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to email him today and hopefully do it. So.
Okay, sounds good. Great. We'll be here. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too. Bye.